levels, right up there. But I've actually been really excited and pumped about the message today and sharing with you today. And earlier in the week, I'm just motivated and driven, and it's been keeping me awake at night. I've been trying to sleep, and I wake up, and then in my mind, I'm preaching a storm. And the congregation is cheering and clapping and loving it. Come on, so you guys can feel free to yell out. That's it. And I was actually preaching in an American voice, you know, the sound of my favourite pastor, you know. So if I sort of, my voice changes to a bit Americanized, just forgive me, because that's what I've been sort of listening to and getting inspiration. But first of all, let's just pray. Lord, we just give you praise and thanks and glory. And we just thank you, Lord, for every person here today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose and a plan for every single one, Lord. And you have something to say and something to each and every heart today, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, that every heart would be open to hear from you, Lord. Every heart would be willing and ready to receive what you have for them, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that your word will move in a powerful way today. We just give you glory and thanks. In Jesus' name. So the title of my message is "The Promise Gives You Purpose," and you know, something about purpose is something that I've sort of had a bit of a journey on, I guess. I'm sort of heading towards my mid-40s. You'd never guess, I know, with these youthful looks, but you get to a point, I guess, where you can look back and you can see sort of generational changes. You've gone through seasons. You can see different seasons in your life, and you can see that you're halfway there, and you think, okay, well, the latter years is not as it used to be, and then you know I reflect on where I'm going, what I've done, what I've achieved, where I'm heading in life, and what I'm trying to do, and it's been interesting because I see my striving and my work and my effort towards building family and building our house and building our life for ourselves and doing all the things that we do, you know, career and working hard. And then I think, well, as a Christian, what's my purpose? You know, am I fulfilling any purpose in the kingdom? Because we can build our kingdom or we can build his kingdom. And that's been my challenge is, am I building for myself or am I building for him? You know, am I building the kingdom for God? And so what I really want to nut down is that every one of us has a purpose in the kingdom and a purpose in Christ, and we want to be moving forward in his purpose, not our purpose. Because in his purpose, all things will be given unto us. So we don't need to strive for ourselves, but God is our provider, right? So I recently came across an American survey, and just because it's American doesn't mean it doesn't apply to us. Because we're not far behind those guys generally in most things. And the survey was about what people see as the reason for life, And 71% of the people surveyed consider themselves Christians, but only 18% adopt the biblical view that our purpose is to know, love and serve God. So a vast number of people align themselves with Christian values and Christian thinking, and yet a small percentage of people believe that our purpose in life is to love God and serve God. A bit scarier than that. 66% of people believe that they have a unique God-given calling or purpose. Okay, so yes, that's easy to accept. We have a God-given calling or purpose. But when it comes down to our reason for living, our reason for life, there was among church-going adults at Pentecostal churches, okay, so this is like our church-going who are actively going to church, 42% believe that success in life involves constant obedience to God. That's less than half of the church, and more mainstream churches are even less. So that's pretty scary, And it actually doesn't surprise me, you know, because I believe the enemy's been singing a lullaby to the people of the church, telling them that it's okay, it doesn't matter, you know, let it slide, grace, 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 you know, God will forgive you. And we've come to a place of complacency in our life where we are happy to roll with the world, roll with how the world does things, and not diligent and fervent in our Christianity and in our Christian walk. It's easy to get distracted and for our heart to capture things of the world and not capture the things of God. We are swayed by the way of the world so easily. You know, it's in our faces every day. And we are challenge is a challenge for us to put aside the things of the world and to harness and focus on the thing. You know, the enemy doesn't want you to be focused on God. The enemy doesn't want you to be walking with him. He doesn't want you to be walking by the Spirit. He doesn't want you to be reading your Bible. He doesn't want you to know the promises of God. He doesn't want you to know your purpose in God. He wants you to be complacent. He wants you to kick back, relax, and trust God. By all means, trust God and hope for things in God, but don't do anything about it. Just kick back and you can and live a good life. You know, got that survey. 23% of the people served believe the ultimate reason for living is to experience happiness and fulfillment. A further 18% believe it's to evolve their full potential physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. 10% is development of humanity, and 10% is living a long, healthy life. And there were some other smaller percentages where people's identity in their reason for living is about themselves. It's about what for me. What am I going to get out of life, and not what God is going to get out of life. What purpose he can fulfill through us. So I'll get you to open up Ephesians, if you can, with me. It's chapter 2, verse 10. I'll give you a minute. Give me a shout out when you've got it. We're getting really quiet. I need that cheering, a bit of clapping. We're going to get to the good bit. Okay, Ephesians, New Testament. We got it? Yep. 4. We are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. So we've been created. When we're saved, we accept Jesus into our heart. We are a new creation. So we are created anew for good works, which God prepared beforehand. So he's known you from the beginning of time. He's prepared good works for you before you even come to Christ. And he knows your purpose that you should fulfill and that we should walk in them. Okay? He has a purpose for us to walk in that he has prepared beforehand for us. And so this is the promise with purpose. The promise of God is that he has prepared beforehand something for us to walk in. And if we are walking our own walk for our own kingdom, then we're not fulfilling and walking in the purposes that he's prepared for us beforehand. So we really need to identify and know what it is that God has for us and our lives. And it's different for every single person. You know, we've all got a part to play. We've all got a purpose to fulfill in the kingdom. And every single one of us should, number one, know what it is, get a promise from God about it, and then walk it out. And it's a one-on-one thing. You've got to get down on your knees and get close to God to let him tell you what your purpose is. I mean, yes, it's great that we have a family and a man who finds a wife finds a good thing, and children are a gift of God, and it's a good thing to have a quiver full of them. But let me tell you, there's a purpose to build the kingdom we should also fulfill and we should be pursuing. You know, we in life, we can struggle with the battle. There's, you know, our spirit and our flesh battle for the control of our soul, of our mind. And we can get caught up in that battle, and it can be like a fog, and then you can't see where you're going. But we need to take a higher perspective in him. And if we're looking from a higher perspective, then none of that matters. It gets clearer the higher you go up. You get up above the fog, and if you're on your purpose, you're focused on what God's called you to be, what God's called you to do, then you can have a clearer picture, and all of that murky stuff below becomes less relevant. Every single one of us is for a purpose. If you don't know what your purpose is, then often it's something that really moves you, something that really touches your heart. If there's something that really inspires you, something that really, really makes you annoyed, something that takes you, and like someone should do something about that. Someone should be changing and making a change there. Well, maybe you're the one that needs to make the change. Maybe you're the one that can put your hand up and say, okay, God, I'm going to step into this purpose, Lord. And if you have submitted to Him and opened to Him to speak about that thing, then He will guide you. He will open doors for you. He'll make a way for you to fulfill that purpose for Him. If it's not of Him and you're walking in your flesh, then you'll soon know. You come against a few closed doors and just submit yourself to God. Let him show you. Let you. In Genesis 28, I'm not going to go specifically into each chapter and verse, but Genesis talks from about 28. It talks about Jacob, and he's a guy that had a promise and a purpose, believe it or not. And you know, Jacob was no saint. He's deceptive, cheating, lying. He's the supplanter. That's what his name means. And most of all, he was unworthy. He wasn't worthy of the father's blessing, and he wasn't worthy of the birthright, but he took it by deception. But you know what he was? He desired the father. He desired the promises of God. He knew that the only way he could succeed in life or have fulfillment and purpose in life is by following what God called him to do and called him to be. The blessing, that song that we sung this morning, that's his jam. That's what he loves. He's all over that. And you know, but he was wholly focused on what God could do in his life. It wasn't about what he could do himself. But he also did something that no one else has done, and he wrestled with God and men and prevailed. And that's something unique about Jacob, because he was a tenacious guy. So we see, let me just see where we're up to. He receives a blessing verse 27. Receives the blessing. And you know, there's a blessing for every single one of us. You know, God's got a blessing for each and every one of us if we're open to it and we want to receive it. You know, if we want a blessing from God, you know, the Lord bless me and keep me, shine His face upon me. You know, this is what God's heart for us is. He wants to bless us in this way. We need to have our heart open to receive and desire the things of God. So he receives a blessing, and then my heart breaks for Esau at this time, because he's devastated that, oh, Father, is there no blessing for me? Do you not have a blessing for me? And Isaac couldn't compromise what he'd already said. So he gave him a blessing as best he could. But he said, Jacob's got the blessing. He's got the brethren as servants, and he's got the food and the livestock, and it's done. And Isaac was irate. You know, he was ropeable that he'd been deceived like that. But Jacob was then given a further blessing by his father and told, go to Laban, your mother's brother, and take yourself a wife from there and head over there. So on his way to see his uncle Laban, Jacob, darkness falls, it's night time to stop, have a rest. One of the things he does is he puts his head on a rock. And that's about putting your head on the rock. You know, the head speaks of authority. Your head speaks of leadership and the authority, and the rock speaks of Christ. You know, so we're to put our head on the rock. And you know what happens when he could put his head on the rock and went to sleep? That was when God spoke to him in a dream. You know, he saw the angels ascending and descending, and he saw the Lord. Let's have a look at Genesis 28:13. Just go through it now. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like dust on the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offerings. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done promised. Until I've done what I've promised. Now, this is the promise for Jacob. This is, he's had a blessing. Yep, That's man's blessing. Let God do this. Let God do that. You know, it's a prophet over him. But this is God speaking directly to him. I will do this in you. And he has a promise that he can hold on and stand on for the rest of his life. And that's what we want to, we need to get that from God ourselves. We need to get our promise. This is what I want for you. This is where I want you to walk. This is what I want you to fulfill in the kingdom, in God. This is where you are going for God. And everything else, nothing else matters besides your purpose in God and what he has for you. Come on, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So Jacob sees the value of the promise. And a few verses down in verse 20, he says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey. You know, God is always with you. He's always watching over you. He's always walking with you. And you know, Jesus, he knocks, he waits at the door and knocks. You know, that's not just for salvation. That's every day. He's knocking on the door. He wants to tell you something about who you are. He wants to tell you about whose you are. He wants to tell you about his purpose in you. He wants to tell you about what he has for you and what he wants to fulfill in you. And if we open the door and listen to God, then he will guide us every step of the way. He will be with you on this journey. And so if God be with me and watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, you know, it says all these things will be given unto you. And so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone, this rock, this foundation that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and that all that you give me, I'll give you a tenth. So Jacob has promised to God, he's made a commitment to God that he will be his God, he will follow him all the days of his life. And you know, we do when we get saved, you know, we believe that Christ died on the cross, and we believe that he rose again, and we are sinners and we need his salvation, and without him there is no life, there's no eternal life. And so we commit our lives to Christ in that time, and we make that promise, that vow, saying that I'll follow you all the days of my life. And you know, that's something that is easy to forget. You know, we've been a Christian for a long time and we forget, okay, what does it mean to be a Christian? You know, the enemy can whisper in our ear, sing us a little lullaby, and then we start to forget about, you know, who we are, whose we are, where we should walk, where we should talk, and how we should talk, and you know, we get will deceive us and say, hey, you got grace, it's all good, you'll be forgiven, it's all good, doesn't matter. But there's no obedience, there's no responsibility if you're just are walking a grace walk. You know, you're not taking responsibility for your walk. So Jacob goes on from there. He calls the place Bethel, and then he goes on towards his uncle Laban, and he meets Rachel. Sees her straight away, and it's like love at first sight, right? She's just amazing and everything that he'd been hoping for. And so what Jacob does with his uncle Laban, well, you know, he says, okay, well, I want to make your daughter Rachel my wife. How can we do this? What do we need to do? And Laban says, 7 years, you work for me, and then you can have her as a wife. No worries, Jacob's got a job. He's got a job and he's doing his job, and he's acquiring wealth and hard, and you know, that's what we can do easily, can't we? You know, we can get our job and we work hard, and although God's got his hand on Jacob and he's got a purpose for him, Jacob is not purposefully walking in the purpose God has for him. He's pursuing his heart's desire, which is Rachel. And so then, you know, he is the king of the switcheroo, right? He did the switcheroo with his father to get the blessing, and then it's a bit of sowing and reaping, right? When he goes to marry Rachel, and Laban says, okay, all the men in town, we're going to celebrate, we're going to party, there's wine and wine and wine and wine flowing, and Jacob doesn't realise that Leah gets switched out for Rachel, and he marries Leah because it's not right that the eldest should not be married. And so Jacob wakes up afterwards, realises what's happened, and he says, hang on a minute, what's going on here? And he goes to Laban and he says, Rachel is the who you promised to me for these 7 years. And Laban explains, look, Leah needs to come first. And And so Jacob says, well, what must I do to have Rachel? Because that's what I'm here for. You know, she's my heart's longing. She's my one and only. Laban says, another 7 years. So his job gets extended. I mean, sometimes we're happy to get our job extended if we're under contract and the contract gets extended. It's like, ooh, more pays. More delays, more pays. So Jacob works another 7 years to get his heart's desire, Rachel. And then he continues with Laban. He says, okay, Laban, I want to go take my wives. Laban says, no, hang five. The Lord's blessed me because you're here, so I want you to stay. And you know, if we're walking with God's hand upon us, those around us will be blessed. And you may not see the direct blessing in your life, but there will be blessing that God can use and move. And Laban, and he had favor with Laban because of the blessing that he brought to that household. But he decides, okay, Laban decided that he changed his countenance towards Jacob. And Jacob knew of it, and so he said, right, time to split. Let's get out of here. And so God said to Jacob to go. And so he left. But then Esau was out there, and he comes to meet Jacob. It's a few chapters past before he runs into Esau. 31, I think it is. 32. Chapter 32 in Genesis. Esau comes to meet Jacob. Now, Jacob sees Esau off in the distance and he is freaking out, right? Because the reason he left Isaac and Rebekah to go to Laban was because Esau wanted to kill him. He was in fear of his life, so he split that time and he says, oh no, he's found me, he's caught up with me. This time surely I'm in trouble. And so he sends out people to meet with Esau, give him livestock and give him gifts. And he calls him my Lord, I am your servant. And he's doing everything he can to avoid a certain death, which Esau has promised him. And really freaking out. And he takes all his wives and all his troop and everything, and they cross over the creek. Which one is it? Is it Jabbok? Let's just have a quick look here. I didn't write this one down. The Jabbok, yeah. The ford of Jabbok. So anyway, so he sent them over and he stayed behind. I think he just wanted to protect everything that he had. He was going to stay there. And I think he was desperate because he knew the promise that God had given him. And this brought him back, the promise that God had given him. He brought him back. You know, his life is in threat and in danger. And so brought him back to what God had spoken to him. And he was struggling with the threat of Esau on his life and the purpose that God had given him and the promise that God had given him. And they were conflicting. He was conflicted in his heart about what was God doing here. Why was he being threatened in this way? And yet God had spoken this about him. And so it says that in verse 22 of chapter 3 in Genesis, he says, he arose that night, took his wives, two female servants. Oh, I did write it down. Look at that. 11 sons. They crossed over the ford Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Then he was left alone. And he was with alone. He was alone. And then the next thing is, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, if he's just sitting there alone, chilling out, and he's like, you guys are okay over there. You know, we just try and see the heart of what he's doing. The reason that a man, that God would come and wrestle with him is that he instigated the wrestle. He instigated the wrestle. He said, God, what is this promise that you've given me done with the reality that we've got here? It doesn't align with what I'm seeing in my life. It doesn't align with where I'm walking here. You've promised me. You know, you've promised me descendants like dust on the earth. You promised me we'd be spread out from the east to the west. How's that going to happen if my brother Esau overtakes me and kills me today? You know, how is this going to happen? And he wrestled with God because he knew that God's purposes are all truthful, and he knows the only way to live and succeed in life is in God's promises. So he wrestled with God until the breaking of day, and when God saw, he in capital H, he, God, saw that did not prevail against Jacob. He did not prevail. Jacob was the most tenacious guy you'd ever meet. He was not letting go of God, and he was not letting go of the promise that God had spoken over him. He was not letting go of what his purpose was in God. And even though for 14 plus years he'd been, had a job and he'd been working for Jacob, Laban, he'd been working and following his heart, chasing after his heart, he never forgot what God had promised and what God's purpose for him to fulfill. And so he was wrestling, and he was not going to let go. And he said, he was believing, Esau is still out there. I'm not going anywhere until you bless me, and I know that I can have confidence in what you have for me. And so God touched the socket of his hip. Jacob's hip socket was out of joint, and then God said, let me go. It's daytime. And still Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. You know, how desperate is that? How much desperation has Jacob got for God and for God's purpose in his life? You know, how can we relate to that? You know, we're only 42% believe that our purpose is to follow, be obedient to God and follow God's ways. You know, how can half the church, you know, that sounds a lot like the 10 virgins, right? 50-50. But I think in reality, that ratio might be a bit different. You know, 10 foolish virgins whose oil ran out, and then there's 10 wise virgins that had oil in their lamps. And the survey in the American church that says only 42%, yeah, it's not much. It's not enough for church, right? It's not enough. And how scary would it be to be in that, the foolish virgins in that company, right? So I think, you know, this is a bit of a, for me, it's a wake-up call, you know. Where am I? How am I tenacious like Jacob and will not let God go until he moves in my life, until he moves in my situation, until he makes a way for me to fulfill my purpose in him? You know, if our heart is after him and our heart is after our purpose in him, then we need to plead with God to make a way for us and make a way from the battles that we face. He all provision for us, but we need to be desperate before him to see that purpose fulfilled. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, and he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. You know, Jacob got a new name. And because of his desperation and his wrestling, he was no longer the liar. He was no longer the planter. He was no longer the deceitful one, but he was Israel. For he have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And so it was by his name, Israel, that God's people were known. And so he was clearly called by God according to fulfill the purpose, to fulfill the promise and fulfill the purpose. And then Jacob saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why your name? And he blessed him there. So he got the blessing that he was after. He got his walk changed. He got a new name. And he was blessed to walk and fulfill the purpose that God had set before him. So then Jacob and Esau meet. And Jacob's got a confidence because he can talk to his brother without hiding, without running away, but he's still submissive and respectful, but he gives him all these prime livestock, the best of the animals he sent over there, and there was hundreds of them, so he'd done pretty well with Uncle Laban, but Esau said, look, I've got enough, I don't want your stuff, but Jacob said, no, if I want to please you, and he said, alright, okay, I'll take it. And then he said, come on, let's go together. But Jacob said, I've only got the old nags and the crook ones left, so we're not going to be able to keep up and they're going to die. So you go ahead and I'll meet you there when we get there. We'll go at a pace that they can handle. So, but then Jacob really, his heart was to get back to God. He wanted, he he wanted to get back, where are we, chapter 33. Jacob just went to Succoth, and then he came to Canaan, and in Canaan there was an incident with Dinah, his daughter, where she was disgraced, and then he had to leave that region because all the locals were with him. So God said, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make." This is chapter 35, verse 1. Make an altar to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. So Jacob said to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves and change your garments. So he was refocused on pursuing God. He was refocused. He said, let's clean our act up. Let's get back on track. Let's go back to where God wants us and God's called us. And so they were heading out. But then the crux of it all comes in starting in verse 16 of chapter 35 when Rachel dies. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was leaving Bethel and going back towards Jacob's homeland. When there was a little to go to Ephrath, Rachel laboured in childbirth, and she had a hard labour. Now it came to pass when she was in hard labour that the midwife said to her, do not fear, you will have this son also. And so it was, as her soul was departed, she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave today. Verse 21, here it is. This is the kicker. Then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Edah. Jacob had to bury that which had heart to then step into what God had for him. Step in as Israel in his new name. So God gave him the new name way back when, but it wasn't until he buried what was in his heart, what had his heart, and that he was able to move on in what God had for his life, to fulfill the purpose and the promise that God had for him. So Jacob got face to face with God. He wrestled with God. He changed his walk. God changed his walk, and God changed his name. And then he buried the one that had his heart. You know, Rachel was the one that took the idols from their father's house. You know, and she was the one that had the worldly connection. And you know, if we let our heart be captivated by things of the world, then we cannot fulfill the purpose that God has called us to. We cannot fulfill the promise that God has for us. And let's just go back to Ephesians 10. The promise is that God has prepared beforehand the good works that we should walk in them. We cannot walk in the good works for God unless we bury that which has our heart in place. God must have we must have God in our heart. He must fill our heart so that we can walk in that which he has called us and the way that he has prepared before us. He's undeserving. You know, he didn't deserve to have that promise. You know, you look at the way he operated and acted, to be fair, Rebecca, his mother, was the kingpin of that operation of the deceiving Isaac. However, he fulfilled it, he lied, and he walked it out. So, you know, like all of us, none of us are worthy of God's purpose. None of us are worthy in our old man. None of us are worthy in our flesh nature of what God has for us and the purpose that he has for us to fulfill. But when we receive Christ, when we are new, we become a new creation. We become his workmanship, created anew in Christ for good works. Our old man is passed away, and behold, we are become new. You know, we have a new man to fulfill God's purpose. But we need to be prepared to get face to face, wrestle with God, be tenacious with God, and change our walk. We need to change our name and adopt the name of Christ in our life. You know, if we're walking a double life. If we're Christian and we stand on God here on a Sunday, but then we go out and to our job and we're working for Uncle Laban and we're walking a different walk and we're walking by the world, standing on the on Christ, we're double-minded and we'll be lukewarm in God's mouth and he'll spit us out. And that's not fulfilling our purpose. We can't fulfill our purpose if God spits us out. So today, I want you all to, can we all just stand up for a minute, please? I just want everyone to close your eyes and just have an open heart to receive God would say to you. Just focus on him for a few minutes and just pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would show what it is in my heart that is keeping you out. Speak to me now, God. Reveal your truth and have your way. Amen. Just while we're in his presence, just think about, just listen to God and listen to what he would say to you and he'll point something out to you. I believe that he wants to speak to one today about what it is that's a stumbling block for you in your walk, about what it is that's a stumbling block and holding you back for fulfilling your purpose and fulfilling the good works that he has prepared for you to fulfill, and what it is that stronghold or those bondages that are keeping you and stopping you from walking in what he has for you. Just meditate and open your heart right now to God to speak to you and to speak truth and to speak life and to speak his purpose into your heart. If you don't know what his purpose is for you, if you don't know what purpose he wants you to fulfill, then and what area he wants you to walk in to build the kingdom, and that's something you can ask him every day. God, show me. What am I doing? Am I where you want me to be? And let me tell you, there's a process to fulfilling his purpose. So you may not see it, but if you know and believe in the promises that he has prepared a good works beforehand that you should walk in them, if you believe in Ephesians 2 and submit yourself to Christ, then he will fulfill that. You know, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until Jesus Christ. That's a completion every single day of your life. It's not completed and then we go on holiday. It's not completed and then we knock off. It's not completed when we get to 65 and retire. It's until the day of Jesus Christ, he will be completing every single day. And we need to continue to walk. We need to continue to fulfill that which he has for us. Fully submitted to God, fully submitted to his purposes, and fully submitted to what he has for us. Our heart has to be for him. Our heart focused on him, not focused on ourselves, not focused on building our kingdom, not focused on building my house, but his house. We've got to build his house and fulfill his purposes in our heart. And it starts in our heart and it starts in our head. We've got to put our head on the rock, and everything that we stand for is on the rock of Christ. And that is where we start from. That is where we hear from God. That is where we will get a vision of God and we'll see him and we'll see his purpose. And that's where he speak a promise to us and about where he has, what he has for us and where we will go. We need to be focused on him and what he has. Fully submitted to him. Oh Lord, we just give you glory and praise. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word will fulfill what it has created to fulfill, and each and every one. And we just declare right now that your goodness will prevail in the hearts of your people. Your goodness will prevail in the hearts of your people. Your people will turn from the worldly ways and focus on you and turn to you and fulfill your calling and fulfill your purpose, Lord. And I just declare, Lord, that by your Spirit you would move in this place. You would touch every heart. You would open the eyes of the blind, Lord. Where the enemy has stolen vision, you would open the eyes of the blind, Lord. You would, where the enemy has come to steal and to kill and destroy and have us in bondage and have us stuck in ways that are not of you, you would open the eyes. You would pull down the strongholds and you would set the captives free right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, just have your way right now in your people, Lord, in the hearts of your people, in the minds of your people. Let us all to you, Lord, and be fully submitted to you in your purpose. purpose, Lord. We just give you glory and praise, for you're the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords, and in you you have all authority, Lord. And we just give it to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We just thank you. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, guys, I hope that really blessed you. I hope that changes your week and your day tomorrow. Day at a time, every day, you're going to see a newness of God in your life, and you're going to see something different and a new walk and a new name and a new anointing and a new purpose in God. And I just believe that God has the power to change every heart and to move in every heart. And so just be open to receive what he has for you and walk in it. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. That was enough to chew on for a week, isn't it? Praise God. God bless you, son. That was amazing. Loved it. So please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of